Marvin Charles is the co-founder of a Seattle organization called DADS. DADS stands for Divine Alternative for Dads Services. It helps men from all walks of life get back on their feet, find work, and ultimately reconnect with their kids. Now, with an organization like this, you must think that Marvin is one of these people who grew up in a wonderful, loving home himself. Well, it's how Marvin's life started, but then things got really complicated.
10 days before I turned 10, my mother died suddenly. And a relative came in and told us that your mother died and that that wasn't our mother. That's not our father.
Marvin and his sister found out they were adopted. The father they had known up to this point wasn't up to the task of raising these two kids on his own. He sent them to live with another relative in the family. This new home was fancier, there was more money, but it was abusive.
I remember my first punishment. I was playing with my sister in my bedroom, and I broke the window. And so the punishment was, I was asleep in that room all winter without fixing it. He had another one he did. He threatened to boil some eggs, and if I catch you lying, he would threaten to put a boiled egg in my mouth. Those were a number of the things that kept me scared to death to do anything.
When Marvin was 16 years old, he ran away. He lived with friends, he lived on the streets, he had a few jobs, but he left them to chase a dream of living a life of a hustler down in California.
In the 70s, there was a fascinating lifestyle. It was called the game. I wanted it.
What did the game involve?
Prostitution, drugs, a limelight, new cars, money.
This did not last. Marvin started using drugs. He was hooked.
But then there came a time in the late 80s where I had been overindulging. Babies were being born.
Your babies?
Yes. I had a 5-year-old son, my namesake. And I was not able to provide for him. Unless I was in a relationship with a woman.
And you were her pimp.
Yes.
Marvin moved back to Seattle. He worked odd jobs to support his drug habit. And then he met Jeanette. There was love. It was real. But they were both terribly damaged people.
We were all involved in using drugs together.
What kind of drugs?
Crack cocaine. And it was rampant. It was rampant. And I'm knowing all the time, this ain't good, but I'm so deep in this madness, I don't care. So then the state came in and took two of the children. I had a son when I met Jeanette. She had a son. And the state came and took the children because I left them at the daycare center.
In the middle of all of this, Marvin and Jeanette had a daughter. They named her Marvette.
She was literally born in the midst of a crack binge. And I remember 7 months later, Marvette was 7 months old, and I had become to be a caregiver to her, you know, fixing her bottles and helping her, just, which kind of grew this attachment. And so one day somebody came into the home with some drugs, and I remember they gave me some, and I just didn't want it. I cussed everybody out in the house, and I took two cans of formula and four diapers, and I ran out the front door.
With diapers and formula in hand, Marvin took his 7-month-old daughter, Marvette, on a bus. He wanted her to have a better life, a home where people didn't knock on the door offering drugs. To make this possible, Marvin knew he had to give up his daughter. He took her to Child Protective Services.
I hadn't told Jeanette any of this. So she was pretty upset. so upset. So when I went back out to the car to strap the baby in the car seat and watch the car drive away. I went back to get back in the house and I couldn't get back in. So immediately I was homeless again. And so I went to my sister's house. She had her three kids there, and it was a one bedroom, and I slept on the floor with a dog. And I remember thinking, dude, this is what your life is like. You're sleeping on the floor with the dog. I'll never forget that dog's name. It was Hershey. So from Hershey, I had to climb back up.
How'd you do that? How did you get clean after all those years?
I think it was determination to prove that I was not the person that I wound up being.
Marvin got into treatment. He got back together with Jeanette. And eventually, she entered treatment too. Then they went together to try and get their kids back from the state.
The state had appointed us a caseworker, and the caseworker says, this is her fifth rodeo. She has no opportunity whatsoever to get the kids back, and yours is slim to none.
Fifth rodeo meaning?
5 times she's been in treatment on drugs and alcohol and the whole 9 yards. And then she made mention, if you guys were married, it'd be different. But she wasn't trying to encourage us to be married. I grabbed Jeanette by the hand after she walked away and said, if you'll marry me, I'll do everything in my power to make you the happiest woman in the world. And I had no references. but she said yes. So after getting married, she went back to treatment. She got out of treatment. We spent our first 6 months. She lived in one clean and sober house. I lived in another, and our curfew was 10 o'clock. And so the courts gave us stipulations, and we just one by one accomplished them.
Marvin and Jeanette didn't fight the system. They worked with it. They learned how to navigate its more complicated corners. They did this with the help of a community they created, their religious faith, the people who taught them their parenting classes. They got their kids out of foster care and brought them home. Marvin got a job, Jeanette did too, but childcare was too expensive, so she stayed home with the kids. Lots of people were watching Marvin and Jeanette reach goal after goal and not slip down a rung on the ladder. Friends and family with similar pasts wanted to know if this couple could help them. This was the beginning of their nonprofit, Dads.
There were people we got high with, we did time with, we did crime with, who were caught up in some of the same situations and circumstances that we were. And how could we take what we've learned and help them? And right away, one thing popped up pretty fast. And that was, Jeanette had child support payments and I didn't. A lot of families don't know that when your kids are in custody of the state, they generate a child support order that usually falls on the custodial parent. And at that time, Jeanette was considered the custodial parents that the kids were taken from. So she had a pretty extensive debt. How much did you owe child support?
$17,000 in arrears. So I had a caseworker I was sharing with them that you can't keep taking this money out of my check. I have kids to take care of. And they were like, you have kids to take care of? And so as I shared with them the incidences that the children came home, they said, well, we were unaware that the kids had came back. So they immediately started to work with me to make that payment manageable.
Jeanette started helping estranged fathers do the same. Make the payments, but get them lowered so you can still afford rent and food. Some of her clients complain they're tired of paying if they don't even get to see their kids.
Well, our goal was to change, one, the mindset that is always going to be your child, whether you see them or not. Your responsibility to this child is to be there for them physically, financially, emotionally. So we found that teaching them how to first navigate the child support system to where it didn't feel so painful, opened their hearts, allowed their mindsets to say, okay, now I want to go and see if I can spend time with my child.
The work that Marvin and Jeanette are doing for them, it's like they're fighting a virus.
A If you remove a father out of the home, the family doesn't die, but what it does, it opens it up for infection, teenage pregnancy, adverse youth behavior. Those are the kind of things that we want to find a cure for. And we think that fatherhood plays a significant role in helping to cure that. It's not the cure-all, but it's part of it.
Families, they come in a lot of different iterations. Marvin and Jeanette don't care if it's two dads, two moms, whatever the combination. As long as there is some partnership looking out for that child with that child's interests in mind. Dad's operates out of an office on Rainier Avenue in Seattle, and they're opening another location in Tacoma. Marvette, who Marvin handed over to Child Protective Services 2 decades ago, is now a student at Langston University in Oklahoma. Marvin and Jeanette are involved with all of their kids, but Marvin says he is still trying to build a better relationship with one of his sons, who was the most affected by his chaotic earlier life.